Hello, 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 and welcome to The Expansive. If you are new, welcome. We speak all about things that make you expansive, both in your business life and your personal life. And if you are one of our regulars, welcome back. And through the stats that we've been watching around the podcast, once you become a regular, you hardly leave. And that's because you get to know Eric and I better and better. And Eric actually sent me a stat the other day showing that these sort of conversations between friends are growing more and more on the podcast world because of the familiarity. And what usually happens is when you bring a guest in, you don't have that familiarity. So you kind of connect, but you don't have that always coming back to hear what your friends are saying. It's almost like being two friends that you are part of the conversation. And so if you do enjoy this pod and you are one of our regulars, please do us a huge favor. We would love to grow the pod. And especially now that we're in the attention economy, all about how many eyeballs are on you. And this kind of makes movement around the world. And in fact, I was with my SEO company the other day and they were showing me the number of inquiries we had in July. And it was the highest number of inquiries we ever had. And it totally related to our turnover. And it was totally related, the number of inquiries to the number of turnover we had. So if you do enjoy this pod, please do share it. Please do post about it on social media. It would be so appreciated by Eric and I. And before we carry on with today's topics, I was always have to, not have to, I like to, welcome my podcast co-host. Yeah, yes. Out of obligation, I have to have Eric here. Shit, man. So damn it, I have to introduce him again. So my ever handsome podcast co-host, who used to be much more handsome when he had short and cool hair. Now he's got French hair. But it's actually halfway between South African and French hair. So it's like halfway.
Old
but Eric, what's
hair.
Up, brother?
Old money hair.
Old money hair.
Yes, get it right.
The only thing missing is old money.
Yes.
Old money's missing. Yes, welcome, Eric. Welcome.
It's part of the manifestation process. Is that
no, new money. You want old money.
somehow it'll find its way to me, you know?
Did you see that? Lost long uncle.
Well, no, dude. Did you see that? This morning, I haven't verified it, but I saw that a billionaire passed away and he didn't have kids, wife, like any relatives. And so he ended up leaving like $1 billion or something stupid to Neymar.
To swans. To who?
Neymar.
Yes, I did say that.
So this is
well, that goes to show. No, but that goes to show that people must share this pod even more, because then you'll have more old people listening and then obviously, hopefully, leaving us a billion or two.
Very good. Things are going well. Last week I hosted Leadership Lab, which is a small group event that I host for leaders.
The venue was beautiful. Tell us about the venue. I mean, it was spectacular.
Dude, it's stunning. So a quick history of Leadership Lab is that I hosted it in like last year, Feb, for the first time. I just wanted to put together a half-day workshop for leaders based on what I've been talking about. And then that went really well. I ended up packaging it for businesses, took it to EO, ended up like doing a whole tour through Mexico with Leadership Lab. That went really well. It became the foundation for Jumpstart January, which was like a big global program they roll out every year. And then since the start of the year, I haven't really done a private Leadership Lab. So I was just like, I was kind of itching to do it again. And I had this very specific picture in my mind of what I wanted the venue to look like. So I went into the Somerset West group here on Facebook, posted like a picture of that venue. And then people were just like spamming the comments with, check out Vader Gelegen. And Vader Gelegen is one of the oldest wine farms in the region. They were bought over by Anglo American, which is obviously a big mining company, many years ago. And the venue that we used is their boardroom, like the Anglo-American boardroom. So it used to be a library. It has this beautiful, rich history to it and extremely, extremely regal. You know, like everything about it is just high touch. So yeah, we hosted it there. Went really well. Had about 16, 17 people join for this one. And I'm hosting my next one in Joburg actually next month as well.
And where do people find out more about these labs, and where are you hosting it in Joburg?
I'm still finding a venue, but they can probably just check out on Instagram. You know, I'll be posting the details there. I just decided actually today whether I was going to do it or not, because I'm like, it's end of the year. Should I still be doing it? But I feel like I want to get to Joburg and just do one to close out the year.
Sure.
And then next year I might do it a bit more regularly.
Okay. Yeah, very good. I mean, the venue really suited your personality. It was very established, and those green leather chairs and really slick. Eh? I mean, I wouldn't know. Actually, I don't think slick is the right word. No. Depth of history, I think, is the sort of space that it has substance. In there. You know? Substance. Yes. Very good. Yeah, I liked it. And I mean, everybody arrived obviously with a cigar and a whiskey, right? I mean, that was the beginning of the morning. Welcome to the Verkelijken boardroom.
Churchill.
Have this whiskey.
Everyone who walked in was blown away. You know, it's just, because also the farm, have you been to Verkelijken farm?
I think I have. I can't remember specifically. I've been to so many of them, but I think I have. Yeah.
It was awarded the best wine estate in the country.
Wow.
This year.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow. And it's just, it's huge. And they have so many things to do there. And it's just, it's so beautiful. So I was like, why go and sit in another crummy venue when you can be inspired on a farm like that and rather do the work there? So I'm so excited to do more of them. You had a great week last week. You were traveling, you did Bucharest. I saw you speaking for MasterCard.
Yeah, it was a very big week. And the week before was Malaysia. So Malaysia, Bucharest, MasterCard. Yeah, I mean, Malaysia got voted number one speaker at the event. And Bishen was there. Chakimuki, what's that Japanese old man? The grumpy old guy. Jesus, what a grumpy old fart. He was there. Coulthard, the F1 driver, was there. There was a whole bunch of people. There was that lady that's very famous on Instagram. And she got 2 million followers. Her name's... She's a Persian lady. She speaks about personal brand and Shiraz. She's beautiful.
My favorite quote from you was, comparison is a thief of joy unless you're winning.
Yeah, that was brilliant. I mean, that should become a t-shirt. Comparison is the thief of joy unless you're winning. And then it's fantastic. Then I'm comparing all day. I mean, to all the poor people, I'm rich. Yes, okay. So, and then I did Bucharest, which was the second time I've been to Bucharest. The Romanians are really wonderful people. You know, you get to really understand culture and warmth, and they're very, very wonderful, the Romanians. Mm. And my second time there, they've got an event coming up with Oprah next year, March, and they've invited me to go and do that. So they'll be doing the paperwork for that. So hopefully maybe I meet Oprah. That would be a nice surprise. And then, MasterCard had their event at the world's most luxurious hotel, the Atlantis Royal. Mm. The event was fantastic. Everything was great. It was really good. The food was great. The event, they loved it. And now I'm on my way to Johannesburg for Singularity, and then I'm on my way to Singapore to go and speak for, I mean, geez, people got money, eh? I mean, they're flying me in. I mean, I'm going across the world, right? And they're paying me top dollar and flying me business. I'm speaking for 20 minutes, bro. 20 minutes for 8 executives. I'm like, how much money do you guys have? And do you really want me to come tell you something for 20 minutes? Like, what am I going to tell you in 20 minutes? Anyway,
what do you choose? I think it's quite an interesting question. Like, what do you even choose?
It's funny because it's almost always the same thing, because the thing they don't understand is the practice of adaptability. And so what they are is a AI-driven energy company, massive, I'm talking billions and billions of dollars, massive organization, amazing leader. Jeez, what a visionary. And he's built this business across Asia. And now they're doing AI with energy. And so energy and AI. But I did tell them that energy is moving to zero, because that's the trajectory of energy at the moment. When energy goes digitized, when you have the convergence of solar, nuclear, fusion, hydrogen, name it, wind, these will converge and you move to zero. This is what the zero marginal cost society is doing. And so I got to land that part, which I kind of think they might know, but obviously when you're inside the bottle, it's very hard to see the label on the outside. And then I talk about the skill of adaptability, so that you're not stuck in your level of intelligence, but actually exploring awareness. And so for 20 minutes, I'm doing that. And then I'm back, and then I'm in Rio. And then I'm going to Rio for a couple of days, and I was going to stay in Rio and then go to Dr. Joe, and then I got booked in Dubai. So now I'm going to Rio, then going back to Dubai, and then going back to Mexico. So it's a little bit of travel that's coming up.
That's excellent. Well done.
Yeah, thank you very much. Yeah,
I wanted to ask you a question. So we're talking about a few different things today, like the attention economy is one of them. Mm. And you were mentioning, so this is our second time recording this because the first time we kind of bombed out. it was mainly us like hearing every like fourth sentence from each other, but still pretending like we exactly know what we are saying. But what you mentioned was that in June, you guys saw like a spike in SEO and it related well to inquiries for you into the business.
Yes.
I'm curious to know, because you've invested a lot of energy and like effort money into your SEO practices.
Yes.
Where is it today? Because we've obviously seen that AI is now eating a bit of SEO and everyone is talking about GEO, which is now the next thing. Is like, how do you make sure that your brand shows up in LLMs like Claude and Grok and all those kind of guys? So have you seen that your SEO has now been negatively impacted since ChatGPT and all those guys coming online?
In fact, it's increased.
Okay.
It's increased. And the reason it's increased is because where does ChatGPT get its information from? It's still from the internet. So it's still scraping the same scrape. But what's happened with my luck, I think it's just luck, is that my name is coming up more often on ChatGPT. And the searches are going towards ChatGPT and the others, and my name's popping up. And my SEO guy, I have such a laugh with him because I know him so well now. I've been with him for 3 years. And I keep sending him videos of like TikToks about people talking about GEO and AEO and SEO is dead. And he said to me, if I had a dollar for every time somebody told me SEO is dead for the last 20 years, I would be a multimillionaire. He says, it's always dying. Like SEO is always dying, but it never dies.
Yeah.
And so the practice is more backlinks, more articles with more like gravitas attached to them. Just, you know what it is? Just like you were saying to me offline, you put out 15 pieces of content. What did you say?
Yeah, 15 pieces last week.
Pieces of content last week, right? Yeah, that's super impressive. And that's what you have to do, right? You have to, and I was listening to somebody online that was saying you have to suffocate your audience, like Formosi does, right? Alex Formosa. They suffocate the audience. Yeah. And so you surround the audience with information. And what you have to do then is then allow the SEO to pick up on that information that you've shared. And in fact, I've just gone ahead with my social media company to launch calendars of all my things across every single social media, from X to TikTok to, and you'll start to see there's going to be so much more online because now I've got like 400 videos on YouTube and we're going to just repurpose and re-edit, you know, and we've got the podcast. And so we're re-editing the podcast. And so much content. What you have to do is put it into bite-sized pieces that people can see. So we're repurposing. So I'm in the process right now of, because I've realized SEO is not going anywhere because AI is still reading SEO. And then what you want is social media. And actually what they were saying is AI actually prioritizes your comments doing exceptionally well in Reddit. So if you make a comment on somebody's post on Reddit and people start to like that comment, that really becomes a very high way for SEO to be picked up by AI. And so there's a lot of tricks and a lot of games to play. As we always say, you know, it's one thing writing a book. It's another thing marketing it. And it's really about the marketing of what we're doing. And, you know, I hire professionals. You're a schnorrer and you keep trying to do it yourself. And so what you've got to do is you've got to hire somebody, bro.
Yeah, I agree. I also, like when it comes to video, for example, I really enjoy video. I was saying to Dan the other day, like I wish I could just actually do a lot more video. And when I say do a lot more video, I mean like take a camera out into the world and do interviews and like like a mini show. Like I actually, you know, if I had the time to really sit down and think about it and the freedom just to go and do that, I would actually, that's what I would love to build because I love sitting with my camera and like the audio and thinking through the videos. And I really love that aspect of it.
So hang on. You mean when you have time, like what's taking up your time now, bro? Golf and paddle and walking the dogs. What do you mean when you have time?
Dude, you know,
you have so much time.
No.
Hang on. I'm going to tell the audience. Wait. You know, often I say, Eric, let's record. Oh no, I'm playing golf. What? No, I'm playing golf. What's golf, bro? We've got business to run here. Golf.
Listen. You messaged me to record after you've just spent the morning sunbathing at your pool next to the,
in the Dubai Marina. But if you say to me, let's record, I will put the oil away, I'll put a t-shirt on, and I'll sit here and I'll record and then go back to my pool. Okay. Yeah. So when you have time, yes. Good luck in having time.
Yes. So if I record a YouTube video, like it takes like a few days of scripting it to get it right.
Yeah.
Then it takes like the recording itself, which is like an hour or two. And then it's the editing of it, which is like 3 or 4 hours. Right. So like, and that's just an easy video. That's not a very difficult video to do. That's just a talking head, 12-minute long video. The moment you want to go and do like a bit of interviews and B-roll and like all that kind of stuff.
No. Yeah, for
the
days.
The amount of effort, like people should understand that when you look at a YouTube video that is well put together, the amount of time people have put into that video is astronomical. Yeah. It's huge. So, yeah. So that's what I mean with time. It's like, because I enjoy the editing. I could outsource it, but I actually enjoy sitting with that. That's a bit of I know I should be outsourcing.
Schnorrer. I know, Eric, I've known you now. I think it must be 10 years, bro. You're just frugal. That's what it is. You like to spend your money on your own things. You don't want to pay service providers. I am exactly the opposite. I want to do nothing and pay every service provider to do everything for me. I mean, if I could pay somebody to deliver my talks, I think I might. But no, that part I do myself. So let's jump on. I think this. Yeah, go on. Sorry, you're going to say something.
No. I mean, I was going to say, tell us about the attention economy.
I have had some people tell me I interject you too much when you're talking. So I am making a very deliberate effort to listen to you.
Yeah. I'm so happy the audience is chiming in on this.
I'm so sorry for cutting you off in the past. So sorry. Anyway, attention economy. I just got off a call with a very impressive young guy. When I say young, he's 35, but young because I'm 50. I saw his video. One of his videos went viral online, and he's building a health hotel brand in the UK. And he made a video about how much money they need to raise, what the place looks like, what the payment plan is back to him. And he's been documenting the journey for the last 2 years of finding a hotel, buying the hotel, refurbing the hotel, like blah, 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 all these different things, right? And I saw his video and I was like, dude, this is so impressive. Can I have a call with you? Because I'm also building a hotel, as you know, Rover House for the dogs. And he said, yeah, of course, let's jump on. So we jumped on the call and I said to him, so how's it gone? Like, what have you done? Like, how did you get here? And what? He's raised £5.1 million from people from all around the world that have built trust with him, that have given him from $10,000 to $250,000. People have sent him. He's like, I've never met these people in my life. From Canada and from all over the $5.1 million he has raised by building trust online. And I said to him, who makes your videos? He says, we hired some professionals, but they were so bad, we just kept making our videos ourselves because people want them to be grungy and honest. I was like, dude, what? £5 million? Are you kidding me?
It's insane.
And he says, look, we're going to raise more. And he's got a membership program. And then he's got this. And he's got this. I was like, this is such a modern way to build trust and to collect capital when you have a community-led raising money. Now, the thing that has to be clear here is documentation. Him and his partner have just documented everything arbitrary. Things that we think are arb, he says your audience thinks are amazing because they don't live in your world. And when I think about it, and I do ask my audience often, I said, who are you watching right now? Are you watching Hollywood stars or are you watching podcast stars? And it's like podcast stars. Why? Because that's where their attention is. And so you realize that the number one currency in the world is not money. It's not time. It's attention. It's how much attention are you getting from people? And I want to just add to that, how can you manage your attention? Because these two, when you attention economy, there's two types of attention economy. Attention on you and your attention out. And I think what we do often is we don't manage our own attention out, which means that our torch of focus is all over the place. And what I always remind my audiences is if you can't manage what to think about, that means that your brain is telling you what to think about, which means that you're not in control of your brain. So if you're at night and you can't sleep and your brain is all over the place, or your brain has got like 10 ideas in 1 minute and you can't focus it, that means you're not in control of your brain. Your attention is all over the place, which means that you're actually useless. You can't do anything. And then you have the other concept, which is how many people are giving you their attention for as long a period of time so that they can start to build trust with you. And so there, when we think about the attention economy, we have to think about it in two ways. And what we are talking about with this hotel is the attention economy of attention coming in, and the other type of attention is attention going out. So I think these two topics are really important for us to talk about, think about, practice, and understand how are we gathering more attention and how are we focusing more attention. And these two become crucial in developing community and developing capital and developing trust and building businesses. And so as I'm starting to get closer to get to the hotel to look for sites and to raise money and to do those things, I'm going to have to start filming it and then also having to learn how to edit it, because I don't know how to edit with CapCut. So I actually have to learn and go through the process. So
Guess he's been doing that all along because he's just perfecting the craft. Yes.
Yeah, of course you have. I know you have.
That's my point.
But remember, but remember that you're a different generation. We always laugh about this because, I mean, I think I'm young. I mean, I look young, but my brain doesn't operate like yours. And that's like amazing. Yeah.
No, for sure.
So, yes, of course. No, I know you do, but you're still ugly, bro. So, I mean, you can edit all you want. Don't come with a jab, bro. Okay. You haven't edited that well. You're still ugly on your videos.
Two things. So I like the gathering and the focusing parts of it. For both of them, you know, what's making this an even more important topic right now is the fact that all of a sudden, there's just so much AI content that's out there.
Yes.
And can you think of anything worse in terms of spending your time and effort and energy than watching AI content that has zero substance behind it?
Yeah.
I mean, there might be a small bit of entertainment value that you might find in an AI video. But for most of it, I'm like, what you are doing is you are spending, let's say, 30 seconds of your life that cost another human 10 seconds to make a prompt, but like the value investing here is totally skewed. Yeah. And you get literally zero out of that because you've watched that 30-second video of like, I saw one of a dog that rings a doorbell, but it looks like, you know, it's so real. You can't tell initially, like, is this AI or not? Yeah. But then, and I was saying to Dan, what makes it really difficult is when it lives in that space between believable, but almost ridiculous. You're like, is this real? Like, it seems implausible, but it also seems plausible. Yeah. And once it's in that space, it's really difficult to know. And then you spend 30 seconds watching this video and you're like, well, actually that was a complete waste of my time.
Yeah.
And so I refuse to download Sora 2 because I don't want to be pulled into the trap of watching just AI generated content. But then, so that's in terms of the focusing component, but then on the gathering component, you know, this has always been true that you and I are competing with Joe Rogan and with Oprah. And like, because we all compete for this very scarce resource, which is people's attention. Yeah. And so now you've had lots of creators coming online since the pandemic. So you already have more competition. Now you have a lot more noise filling the space because you have AI.
AI, yeah.
I don't know if you saw that article that said, we are already at a point where 51% of content being created is AI content.
Yeah.
That's scary. It's crazy to think about. And so your ability to stand out becomes more important. And your ability to stand out really comes down to showing the realness behind it, because it's so easy to find all of this well-polished stuff. But having said that, I think there's another spectrum where it's like really well-polished, really well put together, stands out. And really raw and really authentic stands out. And then in between, I think that's where like most content will just die. It'll just be too average. Mm. Like I'll need to either really connect with you on the one hand, or I need to be like, wow, like this is, I watched a video where they spoke about the de-extinction program that's being run at the moment. And you watch that and it's a 12-minute documentary on YouTube put together by like a creator. But it feels like you're watching a National Geographic.
National Geographic,
you know, so well done. like you're so in awe of like how well they structure that information. So you're going to have to play one of the two extremes if you want to really gather attention. Anything in the middle where it's like you are just generating AI slop or just using bland AI graphics, whatever, all that will go nowhere.
I think what we're going to stop doing is really spending less time on the internet, bro. I think that's what's going to start to happen, you know?
Yeah. That's definitely
I mean, at Singularity, I'm doing a talk called the IRL Imperative, right? The only trend to watch in the age of AI. And I got this one video where this guy jumps off a top of a balcony, lands on a garage top, somersaults, goes, and a car hits him. And you're like, whoa, what happened? And the camera scans to a dog in another car, and the dog looks at you and then zaps you. And you're like, oh, it's AI. You're like, oh. I didn't know it was AI until the dog zapped me. It was so real. Everything was real until the dog zapped me. I was like, shit, this was AI. And I'm actually using that video in the talk because I'm like, you didn't know it was unreal until the dog zapped. And then you're like, okay, hang on a second. I thought that was actually real. And so, yeah, I think this is going to make us trust less and less. And I got another video of this guy standing at the bottom of the screen and this beautiful girl with a cleavage out. And it's him, bro, because every time he makes a gesture, she makes the gesture. So what he's done is just put an AI beautiful girl on top of his gesture. And I'm like whoa, yeah. Like a filter. Yeah, and he's this hot girl. So yeah, okay, tough one. Don't know what's going to happen there.
Yeah, but the trust is definitely eroding.
Yeah.
Like probably in the last week, Dan and I have like four times sat with a video and like, is this AI?
Yeah.
And you almost need a second opinion because you don't want to, you want to believe it, but you also don't want to believe it. And so now we're like, I don't even know. I don't know if this
did
is
you
AI
see Donald Trump shared that video?
Dude, he shares all the AI.
Of a plane flying over the protesters and dropping shit on them. He is not shy.
I mean, he loves those videos.
But you know what the thing is about Donald Trump? You know his superpower? He bends reality to his perspective of reality. We all buy into the reality construct. He's like, no. Let me tell you where my reality is and all of you come on my journey. I'm not coming on your journey. That is a superpower, bro. That is whatever you think of Donald Trump, you can think, but that is a superpower. That's unbelievable that he does that.
I think he's very good. Yeah, I think he's very good at power dynamics and twisting them to his advantage.
Yeah, very good at power dynamics. Okay, tell us what you wanted to speak about.
Yes, I just had two points, and they kind of relate. So I need to tell you a quick story to introduce the first one. And so I'm looking for, I came across this one story of a dude that just blew my mind. The guy's name is Robert Taylor, and he lived in, he actually just passed away not too long ago, but this plays off in like the 1960s. And at the time, he was running a soap business, and he had this idea that he wanted to package liquid soap for domestic use. Because at the time, even though there was liquid soap, it wasn't really something people used in their homes. It was just in industrial and manufacturing. They had those big dispenser units and that kind of worked. So he was like, well, how about we package it into this little pump dispenser, and the dispenser we all know today that, you know, you pump the liquid soap out of. And so he had this idea and he was like, okay, he likes it, but he knows the moment it hits the shelves, all the big players like Procter & Gamble and Colgate, they would all just copy him and he'll be dead in the water because they have unlimited budgets, unlimited resources. Like, he can't compete with that. So he decided to go to the manufacturer of these pump bottles, and he asked them, there was only one, a company called Calmar. And he asked them, how many of these pump dispensers can you produce in a year? And the guy said, we can do 100 million units a year. And to that he said, I'll take all of them. I'll book out your inventory for the entire year. And so he launches these pump bottles. It's a huge success. Colgate, Procter & Gamble, they're all like, okay, we're going to go in on this as well. They go to the manufacturer. They're like, well, we can't. We are out for the entire year. Such a smart move, you know. And when I looked at this, I was like, I like this story. It's a really clever business move. When this guy was growing up, he was already an entrepreneur. He trained a homing pigeon that he would sell to pet stores. And then once it's been sold, the homing pigeon flies back to him. And then he resells it to other pet stores.
That's a scam, bro. That's brilliant.
Oh, it's so good.
You should be arrested. Yeah, okay. Yeah.
So Anyway, so I thought it's a really cool story about this ability to control the choke point. And because you control the choke point, you control the game. And then as I started thinking about this in terms of application into our own lives, I thought, well, it's very difficult for us to control any external choke points these days, because in his world, it was pretty straightforward. There was no real complexity. Whereas today we live in a world that's just full of complexity and just full of, like, you know, it's very complicated in the world that we live in. So I don't think we have the same opportunities to control choke points the way that he did strategically.
Yes,
on
I agree.
Outside.
Yeah. Because we have Google now. Yeah. And ChatGPT.
Yeah. But our biggest choke point ultimately for all of us is actually just our internal dialogue anyway. And if you can sort that out, then a lot of the other things fall into place.
Very good. I like that. So internal choke points is the story.
Yeah.
When I did ayahuasca the first time, I remember realizing, and ayahuasca showed me how many rules I'd made for myself. And they were all self-imposed rules.
Yeah.
And I didn't even know I had those rules. I'm not allowed to do this. I'm not allowed to do that. I can only earn this much. This is the capacity of I can go with. I mean, it was just so many rules. And I remember sitting in the ayahuasca ceremony thinking to myself, how have I boxed myself in and imprisoned myself of what I think is available to me? And we've spoken about this offline, right? Is that even earning money is, we base ourselves on the South African rand because that's how we grew up. And when I make a lot of money, I always tell it to you in rand terms because it's so impressive, because like I made a 10 million Monopoly dollars. And but that's just because our upbringing. My friends in America aren't doing that. They are aiming at dollar, not rand dollar.
Yeah.
And so we realize that there are many, many choke points that we have based on our own stories that we have for ourselves. And actually, there should be no choke points. You're an eternal being with eternal focus opportunities to create anything you really want if you really and truly believe it. But this is the thing that we have to keep learning and unlearning. It's the capability and potential that we have. And I love Dr. Joe's website. It's called Unlimited. And that's exactly what we are. We're unlimited in many ways, you know?
When I was scripting this, the visual that I had in my mind was that you have this pipeline of potential that's flowing. And every time you have this thought or belief or action, what you do is you squeeze down on it and that creates the choke point.
Jeez.
And it was just such it feels so tangible when I think of it like that. And then I'm like, well, everything's just sitting there. It's just on you to identify where that choke point is sitting. And then just to release the pressure, just like let it go. And I mean, in saying that, it's easy to talk about and we know by now, very difficult to do.
Yeah. But very good. Like it. I like it.
All right. The second point I had was kind of it's similar to this, but slightly different. So I recently was just thinking about my life and all the different components or aspects of my life. And I think I was doing an abundance meditation. And I looked at all components and I thought, I feel extremely abundant in my life. You know, I live in a beautiful big house. I walk to the ocean. It takes me like 2 minutes. I go there with my dogs. Love my dogs. Couldn't be happier with them in my life.
Say something about Dan.
I have a beautiful wife.
You always say the dogs first before Dan.
Well, no, because like...
I'm joking. I know how much you love Dan, of course. I'm joking.
And that's very supportive. That is building an incredible career.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know, I feel really abundant when I think of my life through that lens.
Yeah. Yeah.
But then I was like, there's two areas of my life where I don't feel as abundant. Yeah. When I speak comparatively compared to like the feelings that I have in those areas.
Yeah.
And the two ones that I'd say like where I don't feel as abundant is health and money.
Oh. Okay.
And then I was like, well, an interesting thing is like, you know, life always reflects itself. And I was like, the question I asked myself is, or the question that I was sitting with when I was doing this reflection was, where are certain aspects of your life mirroring each other?
Okay.
And the only mirror that I could find was health and finances.
Okay.
And it's not like I'm not abundant in those areas, but it's like they feel the most disorganized and not to peak or potential the way that the other ones feel.
Okay.
I don't really have, it's not that I have like a lot to share about this idea. I just thought it's interesting that a big part of life feels very sorted. And then you have these two points that are actually mirroring each other. And what I came out of that reflection with was, well, you can maybe work on either of those and they'll help to improve the other. But it feels like I need to go and spend a lot more time on my fitness. And so since then, I've been like caning the gym and the paddle and all that. I don't know. Like you can hear the idea isn't fully formed and like I'm still sitting with it. But I guess the overall call to action here or just thought is, where is your life? Where are things mirroring each other in your life? Where can you look at your life and go, oh, these are actually reflection points of each other? You know what I'm saying? Like, does it make sense?
Look, I don't know about the reflection point of those two things, but what I can break down for you is I remember when I was at Dr. Joe doing the corporate training, and I remember in the training, I realized, and this is something that you do as well, and I stopped doing it. And I kept telling the universe I wasn't successful enough. And I kept drumming down, I'm not successful enough. Because, look, you're ambitious, like me. And we often think to ourselves that if we think we're ambitious, if we are successful already, we'll take a foot off the pedal. But what we are actually telling the universe is this constant need for more success. And the truth is no matter how much money you make, with that attitude, you'll never have enough. You'll always be in the process of, I don't have enough money. You just said you live by the ocean. You're 2 minutes from the beach. You drive a Porsche. I don't know which part of this is not abundant. And so I think the truth is what I started doing, and I can only really tell you what I started doing, is I changed right then. It was a July. I'll never forget. I said, from today, I am successful. And actually, the truth is I am successful. I was in Mexico doing a $5,000 talk with one of my best teachers in a 5-star hotel. Which part of that is not successful, bro? Like, I don't have $12 billion. But I mean, yes, I'm at this amazing, amazing experience. And I can easily spend that sort of money doing it. And so I had to change that, right? Is that I am successful rather than I'm not successful enough. And the second thing is your health and your body is based on the relationship you have with your body. And often, and you know, I stopped wearing my Whoop. I had a Whoop band that was telling me about what my health was doing, how my sleep was.
Yeah.
And I took it off. And I took it off because what the Whoop does, it stops your connection between you and your body. You don't trust your body. What you start doing is trusting a technology to tell you how you're feeling, which is not really the right way to do things. Now, you know that the more time you spend with your dog, the more connection you have, the more you understand each other, the more there's this symbiosis of ideas between you two, even though you don't speak the same language. They've now proven that plants start to emit a different frequency when the person looking after them comes into a 2-kilometer diameter of them, which means that energetically, you are not connecting to your body. And so when you have that scarcity, it's a scarcity of relationship that you haven't connected with your body. Now, there was a CEO of the company I spoke for in Bucharest, and he's an avid cooker, a chef, and he loves cooking. It's how he relaxes. And he said to me, next time you're in Poland, please come and see me. I'll cook you a meal. It'll be wonderful. And we had a bit of a joke, and I said to him, well, I hope you're not in a bad mood because that's going to get into the food. He says, oh, don't tell me you believe that stuff. I said, well, do you believe in Wi-Fi? He said, yeah. I said, well, you don't see it, do you? And it's still working for you. And so it's the same thing here, is that the connection between you and your body has to be something that you develop by engaging with it, talking to it, and looking after it and asking it questions. And I've been doing that more and more and more. And more and more and more, I ask my body what it needs and how it's feeling and how it's going about living. And so I think what you have to also do is develop a new conversation with money and a new conversation with your body. And when you start having that conversation, there's no scarcity because it's your lack of connection that's creating that scarcity. You love your dog, you love your home, you love your wife, you're communicating with them all the time. You're not communicating to money, and you're not communicating. And so everything has got an ability to communicate. And we don't give it the benefit of the doubt because we've never been taught how to do it. But everything has got its own intelligence, everything. And everything can emit its own energy. Like plants, energy is emitted. Dogs, energy is emitted. Children, energy is emitted. We never thought kids were intelligent. We never thought plants were intelligent. We never thought dogs were intelligent. Now we're realizing all of them are. And so your body's the same thing and money's the same thing as energy. So my only suggestion is start saying you are healthy and you are wealthy, and then start to communicate with them and ask them for guidance on how you develop more of them and more health.
Yeah, thank you for that. For everyone listening, welcome to our therapy sessions. These are expensive, often more therapy sessions than...
that's the point, right? I pleasure.
Yeah,
you should. Thank you so much for everybody joining us. It was wonderful to have you with us. Please do share this pod if you think that somebody would be able to benefit from it. And until next week, stay expansive. Ciao.